Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gruberti.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gruberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to explore generating revenue from freelancing with our guest, Gina Horkey. Gina is a freelancer who earns thousands of dollars each month by writing articles and serving as a virtual assistant. Gina is on a mission to provide other freelancers with the knowledge they need to become more successful. It is my pleasure to welcome Gina to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
My pleasure, Gina. When I first came across your story, I found it fascinating because I've dabbled in freelancing a little bit just to like see how it works and get familiar with it. And it seems like a place where you could do a lot of different things. So what got you started on your freelancing journey?
Yeah, that's 100% true. Well, I was actually in personal finance. I was an advisor and a support person to a large financial planning office. And I had been with that firm for about 6 years, six and a half, but in the business for almost a decade. And when I thought of the next 30 years of my life, I wasn't super excited to be doing that exact same thing. There are aspects I loved, like meeting with clients and planning for financial goals and tracking progress. And there are other tasks that just really didn't get my engine revving. So compliance and jumping through different hoops and some of the marketing things. But I thought about what did I really want to be when I grew up, and I did some Google searching and came across freelance writing for the web. I've always loved to write. I've written a couple of fiction first drafts, never, you know, tried to publish or anything, but it piqued my interest, and I started looking into it further and exploring, and it turned out that it was something that I was good at and that I could make a living from.
So you had this past job and then you pursue freelancing. Did you leave the job right away, or was it a gradual, you started freelancing and then you left the job as soon as you figured out your freelancing was successful?
Right. So I'm the breadwinner of our little family of four. My husband is a stay-at-home dad and has been for 3 years now. We have a three-year-old as of today, and then our son will be five this October. So there was a lot of pressure, obviously, on me financially to bring home the bacon, and I needed to build up this side hustle of freelance writing on the side of my full-time job, make sure that it was viable. You know, I'd been used to being self-employed, but I had a pretty safe salary at the same time, so that was the scary part, but I had a lot of determination. I had that strong why, and I really enjoyed the online work. So I was able to do pretty well at it and build up my business to earning $4,000 a month within 6 months of looking into it.
Speaking about that ability to make $4,000 within 6 months, I want you to right now to take us back to that part of your journey where you're dabbling into freelancing for the first time. I'm not sure if you either thought it was a side hustle or you viewed this as the full-time thing, but what were you thinking about that work in front of you that eventually led to this revenue?
Sure. Yeah, I always kind of looked at it from a full-time perspective. So I knew that if I wanted to change careers that I, again, would have to make sure I chose something viable. I was able to, you know, wake up really early in the morning, 4:30 a.m. and start writing. And then I would also do some after work on Fridays. I had Fridays off and then on the weekend. So I worked all of it in addition to the full-time job and being a mom to these two young kids. Obviously, I had a lot of support on the home front, so that was good. But I was looking at it as I want a career change. And if I want a career change, then I have to basically build up my freelance business to almost replace my salary before I can, you know, leave work behind. And so that was always the goal. And I started with, hey, I need to earn my first dollar here. I need to get samples in the door. And then I'm very competitive with myself. And I know that I'm capable of a lot. And so I just kind of kept stepping up the bar. So my first paid month of writing work, I think, came in at like $800. And it just kept adding to that each and every month because I was continuing to add new clients and new projects to the mix too. And then in September of this all started in 2014, I added my first virtual assistant client. And that was kind of the piece of the puzzle that solidified me being able to put in my notice and start talking to my office about a transition plan.
So you mentioned that you had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to do writing, which is a lot of dedication. What type of work was involved with that? Like, what are you doing when you wake up at 4:30 in the morning and then throughout the day in order to pursue this side hustle, which eventually became your full-time profession?
Mm-hmm. So I would wake up and pitch. So finding different, you know, job opportunities from, I used job boards. That was kind of how I got my start. And I dabbled with the free ones for a little bit. And then because of the lack of time I had on my side, I just subscribed to a paid membership. And so I would just check one place every day. You know, this is a couple years ago. My schedule looks a little different now, but I do know it was very focused on marketing and finding clients. And when I talk with newer freelancers, you really should be spending like 90% of your available hours, whether you're looking to start virtual assistant work or writing work or whatever type of, you know, freelance or online business. It doesn't really matter. If you don't have any clients, your number one goal is to go out and get clients, right? And how are you going to do that? Well, you need to figure out kind of where your market is and spend that time prospecting and following up with leads.
One thing I've noticed about freelance writers is that there are a lot of writers who you can get really cheap, maybe because they're just starting out. So when you were starting out, what would you typically charge for a writing assignment? Were you a high end or did you have to like charge low and build your way up to that credibility?
So rates are really interesting and I think everybody kind of has to figure them out for themselves. There's definitely, you know, articles and stuff out there on what to charge. I think my first paid assignment, I was writing these like WordPress theme descriptions. So they were 150 to 200 words a piece, if I remember right. And I got paid $7.50 per, which equates to about 5 cents a word. I think that it's quite all right to get your feet wet and get a paying gig that's not, you know, super high. One of my first like reoccurring blogging gigs was $40 per article. And I eventually talked them up to $50 an article, and then I had to leave them behind at a certain point because it just wasn't in my range anymore. So when you think about rates, though, I think the first kind of point of arrival that you want to shoot for is 10 cents a word. Again, you can take on a couple of gigs less than that to get those samples. When you have a sample, you'd like to ideally have a byline so you can claim authorship and put it on your website and in your portfolio. But 10 cents a word, I think, is kind of industry standard. People that want to pay less than that, they're just not worth your time. And then these days, I'm charging between 25 and 35 cents a word. I've been paid as high as probably 50 cents a word. I think one blog post that I wrote probably came in at like 700 words or something, and I got paid $553, which is excellent money.
That is pretty good. So you started low and you were able to build your way up. So throughout that journey, what was your biggest source of motivation in which you're writing for like 5 cents a word to eventually being able to get these $100 freelancing jobs?
Yeah, I think, you know, just getting my feet wet and figuring out what this world was all about. In the beginning, it was definitely for money because I wanted to prove to myself that this was a potential career change opportunity for me. But at the same time, you know, I needed the samples, I needed the experience. So I think for a lot of new writers, you know, you kind of pay your dues in the beginning and then you figure out really what you're worth, what the market in your niche will pay. And for me, I leveraged my previous career as a personal financial advisor. That wasn't all my clients, it still isn't. But personal finance tends to be a more lucrative niche in the writing world. And so it was easier for me to then, you know, keep ratcheting that up. And it's a good way to kind of test the market is, you know, each new prospect that you come across, maybe you quote them a higher rate than what you're currently getting paid. And that's a good way to move up your average overall.
So right now you're making a lot of revenue as a freelancer, thousands of dollars each month. What is the best thing about hitting that revenue goal each month?
Well, you know, I'm in a different position now and that I have some people not really underneath me but just on my team helping me to do things. So my business, you know, I still do some freelance writing. I do virtual assistant work for three kind of high level webpreneurs that are in the tech space. And then I have some courses and some product revenue as well as I do some coaching. So there's kind of a nice mixture in there. But in order to continue to grow, which is my goal, I've relied on some help, which I then, you know, pay them a retainer on a monthly basis, one person for marketing, another for like blog management stuff, and yet another kind of fills in where is needed. And so I'm in a position where I'm responsible for paying others for the first time in my life, which is a weird navigation for me. But so far it's working. So when I look at my goals anyways, I'm looking at a number that is able to pay the people that are helping me and bring home enough to be able to obviously cover my own bills and feed the family type of thing.
It's an interesting feeling to be paying someone for the first time. I've done it myself through Upwork, and it's totally different because it's something that you don't really expect to do it until you're actually doing it.
Yeah, it's, you know, in order to scale, you can't keep doing everything yourself. And there's a lot of things that I'm not so good at that other people are great at. One example of that would be images. I know it looks good, but I cannot do design stuff for the life of me, nor do I really want to get good at it and invest that time. So Mickey is wonderful about doing all the images for my blog. I have girlfriends that a couple of them told me just this last week, I always know your pins on Pinterest because they have this certain style. And I'll take credit for it, but not the actual doing the design. So, I mean, it's, you know, people ask me because I'm becoming a little bit of an authority in the virtual assistant market, like, when should I start working with a virtual assistant? And I always tell them it's before you think that you're ready, because that's a message that I heard in my previous career, like, hire help before you're ready. Because if you wait too late, you oftentimes don't have time to train them improperly, and if you're not able to take that time in order to delegate the tasks and so that person knows how to get up and running, it usually doesn't work out so well. And it ends up being, you know, kind of your fault because that's a part of management, I guess. So take somebody on before you're ready so that you still have that capacity to scale and that you can kind of do that transition in the right way while you still have a little bit of extra time on your hands.
Building the team and getting those virtual assistants is a great way to just save time and focus on other priorities. But in addition to getting the virtual assistants and building your team, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs who are trying to reach their breakthrough, and not just a breakthrough in freelancing, just anything? Maybe some of them want more blog traffic, some of them want more YouTube subscribers. So what would your advice be to that entrepreneur?
Well, I think focus is a big thing. If you haven't read or listened to The One Thing, and of course I'm not going to know the author name, but you can do a quick Google search and I'm pretty sure it'll bring it up. And that's something I honestly struggle with still to this day, is that I, you know, as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we're really creative beings and we have lots of new ideas and you want to implement them. I have strengths that lie in idea generation and execution, but if you have too much on your plate, nothing gets your full attention, and that can be a struggle. So I would focus on maybe a theme for the year or even the quarter. One of the things that I've been focusing on for the last year is list building, so increasing my newsletter subscribers. So that's, you know, something that, because I've had that intentional and focused effort, I've been able to grow my list from 469 subscribers at the end of April. Right now it's, I think, like 6,500 or something like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's like 14 months or so. Not bad. And my goal is, you know, that focus is at 10,000 subscribers, because I took this course and that's kind of the name of the course. And of course, you know, that sounds like a good goal. And so I use a couple of tools then to help me to be focused on it every day. One of them is List Goal. So the creator of this course is Brian Harris, and he's behind the blog Video Fruit. And he has an app that's completely free. It's actually a Chrome extension called List Goal. And you enable the extension and download it or whatever, and every new browser that you pop up then will be populated with your goal for your newsletter subscribers, and then, you know, how many you need on a daily basis in order to get there, and also where you're at in conjunction with that. So if I were to bring open a new browser right now, I need to average 81 subscribers per day in order to hit my goal. And that's a goal of 10,000 subscribers. I can't remember. I think it was like a 60-day time frame. So it's kind of a high number per day compared to what I actually get. And then I can see that I'm at 6627 right now.
That's a really cool tool. I'll definitely have to check that out. And I will leave that for all of the listeners within the show notes of this podcast.
Yeah. And then the other thing is I use that, if this than that app or whatever. Another Googleable thing I should have prepared, but I didn't know the conversation would take this turn. Anyway, so I get a text message, which actually arrives via email every morning at 8 o'clock. And it, you know, talks about my goal of wanting to have 10,000 subscribers. And it was to launch my second product, which I've already done. But again, it's just a daily reminder then that, hey, you should pay attention to this one thing that you're trying to focus on.
What are three tips that you have for aspiring freelance writers who want to make thousands of dollars per month with their freelancing capabilities?
Well, if you haven't, just get started. That's probably my number one tip is I think a lot of people will wait. They feel like they need to read everything on the internet and be as prepared as possible when it's actually taking action that you're going to learn the most from. So, you know, take a course if you want to, if that's what helps. And I have some of them if you'd like to check them out. But basically, just put yourself out there and start pitching and getting samples and getting noticed. So getting started is definitely one. Having a long-term perspective for building a business, and this is applicable, I think, to freelance writers as well as any other entrepreneur out there. I heard this at a conference last year, and it was like, give yourself 2 years to build this business. So a lot of us will think of, you know, trying to make some serious progress in a month or 6 months or something like that. But if you're really trying to have a viable, sustainable business that's going to support you well into the future, then you need to, you know, really give yourself some time to get up and going. So with, you know, let's say I want to be a freelance writer for the rest of my life, I can't expect to invest 60 days into this goal that I want to support me for the next 30 years. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Just planning out for the stuff that matters the most for your career.
Totally. And then, you know, another tip, I think kind of ties into what I was talking to about taking action and getting started. And don't read everything on the internet. Like, of course,
there's a lot.
We want everybody to listen to your podcast, and I'd love for everybody to read my blog. But at the same time, like if you encounter a lot of different things that are pulling at your attention, one of the things that I'll do is I'll literally do like a draft email and I'll just dump links in there. These are some of the things that I want to read or listen to. And when I have the time, I can go through and kind of check them. Oftentimes what happens is I end up with this big old list and I just delete it at some point because the information isn't relevant anymore, or I just never found the time to make it a priority. So that's a good tip, I think, from a productivity standpoint. Instead of clicking through and reading everything, like start some kind of doc or list and then, you know, just focus on it when you have the time rather than screwing up your priorities, which would be pitching. Pitching is something you need to do as a freelance writer.
And reading all of those articles, it's great to get that information, but it could lead to analysis paralysis, which is something that you never want to have in business.
Right. It will happen, but, you know, try not to have it happen every day.
Right. Gina, I feel like a lot of people are driven by some type of inspirational quote. They think about it and it empowers them and inspires them to do stuff. So I ask you, what is your favorite inspirational quote and why?
Okay, I have two. I have one that I've had for, you know, almost since the beginning, and that's why not me, why not now? And I just latched onto that concept because I was so driven to make this business succeed. Why not me? Why can't I be the one that succeeds? And why not now? Why can't now be the time that I do it? So that one carried me through quite a few days, and I still love it, and it's all over my website. Another one is, instead of thinking about what is the worst that could happen, what's the best that could happen? So if you're scared to try something, to put yourself out there, instead of thinking what's the worst thing that could happen, what's the best thing that could happen? So, you know, latch on, I guess, to the opportunity of something that could be, and have that positive or optimistic attitude.
That'll definitely help out with motivation. Instead of thinking of all the bad stuff, think about the good and go after it.
Yeah, why not you? Why not now?
Right now, I'm going to give you the spotlight. So for all of our listeners, Gina, where can we find you on the web?
Sure. So Horky Handbook. I have this funny last name I was married into. It's Horkey. Handbook.com is my main website and blog. And all my social handles are that. So Twitter is at Horky Handbook, for example. I'm on Pinterest and have a Facebook page and all that good stuff too. But come to the blog. Check out the free resources we have available for you. I have a couple of free email courses, one on freelance writing, one on virtual assistant work, another one that's like a website tutorial, because people get hung up with trying to have a perfect website and you just need certain elements to be good to go.
Gina, thank you for taking the time to be on this podcast. Go ahead and celebrate the birthday within your family.
Oh, thank you so much. We're going to see a magician and we have a Minnie Mouse cake.
Awesome. That sounds like a great party.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Gina.
Bye.
What a great interview that was. Gina's interview reminded me of a quote from Reid Hoffman. And that quote is, an entrepreneur is someone who jumps off a cliff and builds a plane on the way down. Gina did not wait to feel perfectly ready to start building her team. You'll never feel perfectly ready until you give it a try. Gina started off with freelancing opportunities that resulted in 5 cents per word and got better freelancing opportunities as she continued to put in the work and build a strong team. A pattern among successful content creators is that it feels like it takes forever to produce the actual content, but the marketing ends up taking even more time. We can see that in Gina too, when she suggested that we spend 90% of our time finding more clients. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markgabardi.com/E7 to get those. You can ask questions over there, which I'd be happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgabardi.com/iTunes or markgabardi.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Are you thinking about outsourcing your business? If you are, you'll be interested in my Outsourcing Domination training course. In this course, I talk about experiencing success with your freelancers and how you can make a profit from outsourcing your tasks to other people. The course is valued at $100, but as a valued Breakthrough Success listener, I'm going to give you a 75% discount, and you can get that discount by heading over to markgubertie.com/outsource. This podcast is a production done by Mark Gubertie. For more insights, head on over to markgubertie.com.